I think we've got everything working correctly now. It's certainly good to see you tonight. I'm glad that you came back out this evening for a period of Bible study that we can take a look at God's Word and see what it has to say. As you probably see on the screen behind me, we're going to talk about my influence. And by that, I don't mean Paul Adams' influence, although I'll try to apply that to myself, but how each one of us does have influence as we live in this life. And we'll like to talk about some things in regard to that and hope that you will follow along as we study together. When we think about influence, it is something that we all have, and we find some descriptions of that within the Word of God. And it tells us what influence is like in some passages that probably you're familiar with. Passages like Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, where it says there that you are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When you think about this teaching, from the very youngest ones among us, they learn that in their Bible classes, that we don't hide it under a bushel and we don't let Satan blow it out, but we let our light shine. Our influence is light that illuminates, it shows itself to others around us. It's something you can see from a long distance away. A city that is set on a hill is recognizable. You might also notice there that earlier in that reading, in verse 13, the scripture says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Influence is like salt. It is a preservative. And here we see that if it's not used in the proper way, then it really has no great purpose. If you lose that quality that makes you different from the world, you lose the value that you have, and you lose the valuable influence that you have for others. We might look over a little further in Matthew chapter 13 and look down around verse 33. Jesus talks about our influence there in Matthew chapter 13. And down at verse 33, when he teaches this parable, "Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." He's saying God's people, the influence of the kingdom of God is like that. It permeates, it spreads, it grows. And those who are followers of Christ, those who are part of His kingdom, have an influence. They have an influence toward others. And we see that how they can impact that. I can remember there was a time in which I was working at a donut shop as a baker. So some of you know about that. And I worked overnight. And we'd dump in the, or I worked by myself, so it's not we, it was me. We'd dump in the flour and the different things that would go in there, mix it up. And we'd take just some warm water in this little packet that was a leavening agent. It was yeast. And we'd add just such a small amount. And I'd put that ball of dough in there, and I suppose it was about this big, but it was in a bowl this big. And it would grow, and it would grow, and it would grow. And they said to punch it down, so I punched it down, and it goes down. And then it would grow, and it would grow again. And that's what the kingdom of heaven's like. The influence we have permeates, it grows, it impacts everything else around us. When you think about that leavening agent, that it was mixed among the flour and probably some salt and sugar and some water and all of this, but it causes and it impacts everything else around it. And here we see that it was to grow. That's what Jesus is talking about there in the impact of leaven. We see when Paul describes the Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and if you'd like to turn over there, I have most of the scriptures tonight up there, but not all of them. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'd like to look over at chapter 3. The Word of God says in that passage, 2 Corinthians 2, looking down at verses 2 and 3. He says, "For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad? But the one who is made sorrowful by me. For and I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, you should have sorrow over those whom I ought to have joy and confidence in you all, that my joy, that is the joy of you all. I read the wrong verse. I was thinking, that doesn't sound right at all. But let's look over in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Paul says there, and this is the right passage. I apologize for that. And hope that that wasn't a distraction for you. But look in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Paul says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, the heart. Here the Word of God was made known. People could read the Word of God by looking at these Christians. They were an epistle, like the epistles we see that were written in New Testament times. What is influence like? Well, it's like light. It can be seen, and it can help those who need the light. It's like salt. It influences things around it. It's like leaven, and it permeates. It's like an epistle. It's like reading a book and the information that it shares. When we think about this, you might also consider that while I would like to think that we are just all the time positive influences, that there are some negative influences too. You know, we can be positive or negative. And the influences that impact our lives can be positive or negative. They can make us better or they can make us worse. And maybe you have experienced that, that there's some people who make you worse and some people who make you better. Maybe we ought to consider ourselves and say, are we the kind of person who, because of our influence, we improve? Are we the light or are we the darkness? Are we the salt or are we that salt that has no savor, no flavor? It's thrown out and it's just good for road salt. We have to ask ourselves, what do people see in our epistle when they look into our lives and they read about us? What kind of leaven are we? What is it that is permeating others around us when they look into our lives? Well, we see in the Scripture that there are some positive and negative influences. Jesus talked about the Pharisees in Matthew 23, beginning at verse 13, where he says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Here's a very powerful message about the kingdom of God. What we see here is that Jesus says that you aren't getting into the kingdom of God, but your influence keeps others out of the kingdom of God. We have to be careful that we're not, certainly we want to be in the kingdom of God, but we don't want to prevent others either. You know, there was a woman, they called that Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. There's messages to each of the seven churches of Asia there. And here the Scripture says that there is this woman, and she's just simply identified as Jezebel. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. You see that here she was an evil influence, this woman, whoever she was, just identified here as that Jezebel, as one who is impacting others around her, but not in a very good way. We have to be careful we're not that negative influence. We're warned not only about our influence, but about how others impact us. And you're probably familiar with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil companions corrupt good morals. You can read whatever translation you like, and the message is the same. We can be impacted by those around us, so be careful. Choose those who are close to you carefully. Did Jesus go around and did he associate with some sinners? He did, to teach them. But who were his close friends? Who were those who he depended upon? Who were those that in times of stress he drew close to him? You find it to be those believers who believed in him, who wanted to follow him. They believed in God. Careful about those influences. You know, I thought about a positive influence, and Queen Esther. Esther's one of my favorite readings in the Old Testament. When you consider her, you see that Mordecai is talking to her, and he's trying to get her to be the right influence. She'd just like to in a part of her, she'd like to be quiet. She'd like to not draw any attention to herself. She says, I could die over this. And he says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. God's going to accomplish his will in words. Father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom such a time as this. Esther, stand up and be counted. Go before the king. Represent your people. We see that her influence, while God would accomplish his purpose regardless, her influence was something that God was able to use to save the nation. I was thinking about Paul in Rome also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. He says, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. You know, the Caesars were known for being highly Christian-like, I guess, and not real religious. Maybe they were religious, but not in the sense of being worshipers of the true God. And here, Paul's influence, while he's in jail at Rome, has caused some who are within the household of Caesar himself, some of Caesar's family, to become believers. Saints who are of Caesar's household. I don't know what the Caesar in those days would have thought about that. If he'd have said, my nephew, my son, my daughter, my cousin, whatever it is, here they have come to believe in Jesus because of that Paul that we've got in jail here. But we see his powerful influence in that case. This is a passage that Jesus wants us to realize that we do impact others around us. We do make a difference in the world. Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Wouldn't you like to maybe consider that if you weren't a good influence, you could at least be neutral? No, I'm afraid not. Jesus says, you're going to have an impact, and I'm going to know if you're a follower of me or you're not. If you're really devoted or you're not. I'm going to know if you're with me. If you don't gather, if you do gather with me or if you don't. Jesus says, I know. And he wants us to have that kind of realization. Would you consider that you do have influence if you've not seen that already? You personally. The lesson is my influence. You make a difference. You impact the people in your house, your family. And maybe you make them better, or maybe you make them worse. You impact your coworkers, people that you come in contact with. You impact your neighbors. You impact all kinds of people that you encounter every day. You have influence. When we read in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, the scripture says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. You know, our works impact, they influence where we're going to spend eternity, what we've done with this life. But more than just impacting us, what we see in Hebrews 11:4 is that even after we're dead, our example can still teach others. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though it he being dead, still speaks. The first verse we read says that here our works are going to follow us into eternity. That's true. What you do in this life is going to impact where you spend eternity. But you know what else it says here? What we do in this life, even after we're gone, has an impact. There are some of you who are here today because of the influence of your parents. There are some who are here today because of the influence of your grandparents. They may be dead. They may have passed from this life on into eternity. Their works followed them into eternity. But their testimony still speaks. because they had that impact on you. It may be a friend who taught you the gospel. It may be someone who took time to work with you and to talk with you. Their works, certainly, I take great comfort in knowing that those works follow us into eternity. But those works keep on going after this life. They make a difference in the lives of others. There may be someone here who just studied the Word themselves. They came to a knowledge of the truth. And they said, I need to do that. And that's great. But I would say most of us are here because someone back down the line cared enough and influenced us enough that we... Romans 14 just lays it out. Romans 14 is one of those chapters. He talks about being careful to keep brother's conscience, not to offend someone, not to cause someone to sin. Realize that you make a difference. You impact, you influence. None of us lives for himself and dies to himself. You have to be careful. Let's talk about being careful. We've seen tonight what influence is like, positive and negatives, good and bad. And you do. You make a difference, and you have been influenced. But I want to encourage you to protect your influence. In just a moment, in just a short time, in just one act, your influence can be destroyed. Folks would not see you as that positive, glowing, good influence if we're not careful to make sure that we are presenting the right picture, the picture of Christ, to others. Consider Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Well-known scripture to you, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. What we see here is that our reputation and our influence in this world is something we ought to treasure and see as being really important, really valuable, something that we don't just cast off lightly. It may be that folks remember us not for our best day, but for our worst. I hope that's not always true. I would hate for my family, I would hate for all of you to remember me on my worst day. But you know, people in the world aren't so gracious. And when we show the world some distorted picture of what a Christian ought to look like, we ruin our reputation. Our influence can be destroyed for those people. Paul talked to Timothy about his prayer in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, how that prayer ought to be given for kings and all who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I hope that it is that you want to lead a quiet and peaceable life. You want to be a good influence. You want to be godly and reverent in the way people come to see you. And he says also in that chapter, that the conduct of the women, he says, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. He says, people can see what kind of person you are. And here he's talking to the women. It's true of the men also. People can see if you are what you profess to be. If you're really that, or if it's just a pretense. My influence. Hope you'll think about that this week as you go throughout life. You know, you go down to the Walmart, or you go to the grocery store, you go to your job, you drive your car on the street. How do you conduct yourself? Maybe it's in recreational activities. Do you behave yourself? Do others see what kind of person you are? Are you the light, the salt, the leaven? Are you the epistle that they can read? Would you weigh that out and say, I think I've a good example, because I have an impact on those around me. Protect that. Keep that. We're going to offer the invitation in just a moment. If there's someone here who's never obeyed the gospel, would you come forward? Would you do like Jesus taught the disciples, that he who believes and is baptized will be saved? Would you like to do that? Do you believe in Jesus as the Christ? Do you want to turn away from sin so that you can make the good confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, to be baptized so that your sins can be forgiven? Would it be there's a child of God and your influence has not shown the world Christ? It's shown them something else, and maybe you need to make things right through repentance, confession, and prayer. We're ready to help you and to pray with you and for you about those things. If we can be of service in any way, let us do that right now as we start.